Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, February 24th. Coming up today, we'll hear from charity group Canterbury for Ukraine as we mark 3 years since the Russian invasion. We've also spoken to the Gillingham boss after another goalless draw extended their winless run to 12. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A Kent police sergeant has appeared in court after he was spotted loitering naked in woodland near a children's play park in Chatham. Simon Ince was seen by dog walkers in the area just off Vale Drive on February 2nd last year, but quickly dressed and started jogging around the park as if nothing had happened. He was later led away by officers in handcuffs. Investigators also found photos on his phone showing him masturbating while naked in the same area about 5 months before. He's since been sacked by Kent Police, who have been wanting to throw the book at the 51-year-old, but their appeals for him to face serious charges have been dismissed by the Crown Prosecution Service. Sergeant Ince has been given a conditional caution, a punishment that avoids prosecution. As part of his conditions, he must attend a thinking skills online course and stay away from the Vale Drive Park area. It's prompted outrage from some people who feel his punishment should have been more severe. Oliver Leader de Sax from our colleagues at KMTV spoke to people in the area to see what they think.
My fear would be if this person isn't dealt with properly now, he could go on to commit more serious offences.
You get hundreds of school kids there, you'd think they'd be on top of something like that, because it's not just something you'd randomly do, especially as a member of the, you know, public service.
I'm really surprised that more stronger action wasn't taken.
Because it happened beside a park, a children's park, I think that adds an extra layer of darkness. I think that a man showing or being naked in public in general is already very scary, for women especially.
Kent Online News.
It's emerged a Medway dad who was killed in a crash on the A2 was speeding when he lost control of his car. 29-year-old Aaron Ricketts from Strood died after hitting the central barrier and a bridge parapet at the junction near the M2 and Waynescott bypass last September. An inquest has heard his speed, the damp road surface and poor condition of tyres all contributed to his death. A dad says he's been left traumatised after having 9 of his teeth knocked out in an attack outside a Kent pub. Tom River was hit with what's thought to have been a catapult near the Checkers on Farningham High Street on Friday night. He's been treated in hospital. Police say they are investigating. A Sittingbourne man's appeared in court accused of causing serious injuries to a woman who was run over in a Morrison's car park. Terry Andrews was driving his Land Rover Discovery Sport when he allegedly hit Margaret Newman on a zebra crossing. The 72-year-old from Sanford Road denies dangerous driving. He's due at Crown Court next month. The Ukrainian president is hosting a call with world leaders today to mark 3 years since Russia's invasion. Volodymyr Zelensky has said he would give up his presidency in exchange for peace and NATO membership. So Keir Starmer will be among those to join discussions. Here in Kent, there'll be events in Canterbury later to mark the anniversary. I spoke to Denis Nizalov from Canterbury for Ukraine about what will be taking place.
Ukrainian community will organize a series of events in Canterbury, and we'll have the solidarity walk that starts at 4:30 p.m. by the Marlowe Theatre, and we would like to invite everybody who would like to show their solidarity with Ukraine, with Ukrainian soldiers, with those who suffered from this war, and to show support to them. And we are honored that Air Marshal Chris Nichols will represent the Lord Lieutenancy of Kent at this event, and the Lord Mayor of Canterbury will join us for the walk. So please come, please bring Ukrainian flags with you, and we'll be happy to see you there. Following the walk, we will also have a public talk that will take place at St. Thomas Church, where we will discuss with just distinguished speakers what the war means to us in terms of the values we have in Europe after the World War II, the order that we have after the World War II, and how the war in Ukraine affects them, but also what the just peace means for all of us, what it means for Ukrainians. And our speakers will reflect on this topic. Again, we are we are honored that Anne Decker, former Lord Mayor of Canterbury will moderate this discussion, and we will have distinguished guest Peter Hilbert, the Brigadier, participating in the panel together with Alexei Yizhak, an expert on national and international security from Ukraine, joining the panel, as well as a senior commanding officer from the Operation Interflex that provides training to Ukrainian troops. So our speakers will share their views on the war, on the peace, and the way how we can sustain the peace in Ukraine and justice. You're all welcome to join this event.
I mean, as you said before, the events, they are going to be for everybody, for the whole community to come down and support the Ukrainian community. What else can we do, you know, people living in Kent, what can we do to help and to support the Ukrainian campaign?
Well, there are several ways everyone can demonstrate their support and solidarity. First, I think it is important to support and to address the members of parliament, the elected officials, in stating the importance for having the just peace in Europe and sustainable peace in Europe. I also think that it will take an effort from everyone for quite a sustainable period of time to maintain this peace. So I think we need to be ready to see that UK as well as other European countries will support peace, building peace maintenance operation in Ukraine when the agreement will be reached. So I think that's something that we need to be ready. And I think it is important for everyone to understand that if Ukraine fail in this war, the war will come to other countries in Europe, and it will be even more difficult to stop it. I think being aware of this is critically important, and that sharing this information, developing this understanding, is the most important for all of us.
Kent Online News.
Kent's Chief Constable has revealed the cost of seizing banned XL bully dogs is likely to exceed £1 million by April. Tom Smith says legislation that came into force last year has been a challenge for the force. He's spoken at the Police and Crime Commissioner's Quarterly Performance and Delivery Board.
It is a significant increase in costs, not just financial costs in terms of things like kennelling and vets, but also for the strain on our staff. We are having we've had to train a further two dog handlers and to qualify them as dog legislation officers, bringing us to six. That is almost exclusively off the back of the challenge of policing the XL bully legislation. Legislation that I do, of course, fully support and is absolutely right, but has not come with any support from government at this stage. So it does remain a challenge for the force, both operationally and financially.
They've had to train another two dog handlers to cope with extra cases. Firefighters have been called to tackle an industrial blaze in Sandwich. It broke out on Ramsgate Road near Port Richborough yesterday afternoon. Video at Kent Online shows thick smoke coming from behind the Roadhouse Diner. Elsewhere, firefighters have been called to an outbuilding near Maidstone after a tumble dryer caught alight. The blaze spread to a washing machine on Sutton Road in Langley yesterday evening. No one was hurt. Crews are urging people to check their smoke alarms. Now, Trading Standards have seized 66,000 tubs of potentially dangerous nicotine pouches at the port of Dover. A vanload of products was discovered coming into the UK, with most of the information on the packets in Spanish. There are concerns about high levels causing nicotine poisoning. Jim Widette is the Kent Trading Standards Operations Manager. He's been chatting to Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV.
These goods have been detained and they've been passed to us because these products aren't labelled correctly as the first point of a problem. So the ports team are working on that. They're liaising with the people who have brought them in to see if there is anything that can be done to make them compliant. And if they can't be made compliant, then these goods might well have to be destroyed because as they currently are, they can't go onto the marketplace.
And you mentioned earlier something about you tested some of them and the strength. Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah, so not these particular ones, but nicotine pouches in general. So we've been doing some work on this and we have tested some. And some, you know, got like 50 milligrams per gram in them, which is really, really strong. It's like, you know, eight or nine cigarettes in one go. And we know anecdotally that some consumers, when they're using these products, it's causing their gums to bleed. Some people are being sick. Some people suffer from diarrhea. So, you know, if it's having that effect on people, if you don't know what's in it and you don't know what strength it is, then they can be dangerous, especially if you've got underlying health conditions.
And we've also talked about, so Kent Training Standards, obviously, the aim is to stop products that can be harmful getting into our high streets or our marketplaces. I'm aware we spoke earlier about the different types of nicotine pouch and how some of the flavours might be more marketable to younger children and things like that. Is something you're interested, willing to speak about?
Yeah, so, I mean, these products, these could be, you know, described as maybe more young adult appealing, but as a service, we have seen some that are, you know, the actual design of the product, it's gummy bears, and it looks like sweets on the tin. And if it looks like that, and when you open it, it smells like it. I mean, these are cola, and as soon as you take the lid off, there's a really, really strong smell of cola. So if you've got a little tub like this that says gummy bears, and you open it and it smells like that, is that confusing for children? And it's something that, you know, confusing nicotine and food isn't really a good idea, especially if it's going to be appealing for young people.
Okay, and as far as nicotine pouches go, do you see a lot of them coming through the ports? Is this kind of the first? How does this kind of relate to the overall threat that these may pose to the UK high street?
So for the ports team, this is one of the first consignments that we've seen that's not compliant, so it's not right. 66,000 is a huge number to actually find. And to put it in context, so we've got a team who go out dealing with illegal vapes. And that team over the last 10 to 12 months have seized about 4,000. So for the ports team to take 66,000 out of circulation is really, really effective, and it's really good. And we're slowly seeing these types of products, nicotine pouches, becoming, I suppose, more frequently seen on the high street. So it's a new product, but it's gathering momentum.
Finn also sat down to chat with Kent County Council Director of Public Health, Dr. Anjan Ghosh.
There are markets where basically there's always this, manufacturers are on the lookout for how they can sell certain things to, which are very addictive, by the way, to groups of people who otherwise don't use them, don't know about them, etc. So nicotine pouches fall in that category. They're basically like small chewing gum sized pouches made of the material that tea bags, for example, are made of. And they contain a powdery material which is laced with nicotine, but also has flavorings. And those flavorings are basically very attractive, guess what, to young people. And the packaging of it is also made that it's actually attractive and looks really cool. And that actually tries to aim it and gear for younger audiences. And it's for profit. From their side, it is all about money. From the public health side, it's all about risk and addiction and impacts on health. Nicotine itself has a number of side effects, quite serious side effects, and those side effects can cause health issues short-term and long-term.
Kent Online News.
A Folkestone landlord said he's had to spend £5,000 on one of his properties after it was left in appalling condition. Baz Basra says the rubbish, clutter and dirt was so bad his contractor refused to go there and work. The tenant's been evicted after a six-month court battle. We've shared pictures of the mess at Kent Online. A 13-year planning battle over the future of fishing lakes near Maidstone could finally be about to be resolved. The owners of Monk's Lake applied for retrospective planning permission back in 2011, but the approval was later overturned following a judicial review. It was reconsidered by the council in 2020 and rejected. Now an appeal is going to be heard by a government inspector. A public inquiry is due to start tomorrow. A teenager who was injured in a dog attack in Herne Bay is said to have been trying to protect his Dachshund puppy. Police were called to Stanley Gardens last Tuesday after a 17-year-old was hurt by a Rottweiler bulldog crossbreed that had escaped from a garden. The boy's been hailed a hero for shielding his puppy and younger brother. Officers say an investigation is ongoing.
Kent Online News.
A run is taking place in Maidstone later this week to raise awareness of women's safety. The first ever Let's Lift the Curfew is a 5K at Lockmeadow Health Club on Friday night. Everyone taking part will be kitted out with a high-vis top and encouraged along the route. Rob Dunnell, who's the chair of Maidstone Harriers, has been telling Lucy how the idea came about.
We partner with Lockmeadow and Moat Park Sports Clubs. And Donna from Lockmeadow approached us about it. It's a campaign that's been running, I think, nationally for the last couple of years, started by This Girl Can, which is, I think, a sort of charity, lottery-funded group that helps to raise awareness for fitness and exercise for women. But they started this campaign to try and make it or increase awareness of safety issues for women running, obviously, of an evening when it's dark. Donna approached us as a partner and said, look, they'd like to arrange one in Maidstone. They'd done it at different locations around the country as part of their group. Obviously, as a running club, they were looking for our advice and support to help put it together. We were very much delighted to help them out because it fits in with our sort of inclusivity and our sort of ethos of what we do with the community. So.
What kind of issues do women face when they're running on their own at night?
I think it's just mainly the fact that they don't feel safe. They don't feel confident to go out and just enjoy their run. They're constantly worried about who's out there, what might happen, especially obviously down some of the roads that are less well lit. And they don't do it. And so obviously partly through the club and partly through this campaign, we want to be able to increase awareness, and help women get out there and have a run and enjoy it like everybody else should be able to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do a little bit of running myself, and I tend to try and go out when it's light. But obviously, that can be difficult if you're not working and you finish work late, especially this time of year. It's starting to get a little bit lighter in the evenings, but it's still hard to kind of fit in a run around work, isn't it?
It is. And I think, yeah, a lot of people have a full-time job. You know, they get to the end of the day and they go, oh, you know, I want to go out for a run, but it's dark, and they don't. Whereas if there's an organized event or an organized club where there's plenty of other people, there's plenty of males and females who can run all together, then it provides the right kind of environment, where they can feel safe and do their exercise and meet people. And it's partly why obviously we're trying to encourage this campaign. And obviously, we do that within our club as well.
Tell me a little bit about what the event's going to be like. What kind of atmosphere will it be? And I understand some sort of high-vis vests and things like that are being given out as well.
Yeah, so I think what we envisage to do from our perspective is we're going to map out a 5K route. It's going to start in about 7 o'clock on Friday. We're going to meet up in the cafe area, obviously introduce us and introduce Lochmeadow. And I think the plan then is to for we've got a number of our members coming down who are some of them are coaches, some of them are support runners to help, you know, guide people around, give people support, etc. I think what we'd like to do is to replicate what we did in our club a couple of weeks ago, which is been on all of our socials, where everyone was wearing high vis, but everyone had glow sticks as well and music and made it into a real event, and that's what we'd like to do next Friday.
11 schools in Kent and Medway have been chosen to trial free breakfast clubs. They're among 750 primaries across England that'll be early adopters of the £7 million government programme. The rollout starts in April. There's a full list of the schools involved at Kent Online. A former Gurkha soldier from Canterbury has become the first double above the knee amputee to climb South America's tallest mountain. Harry Budamagar is trying to scale the highest peak on every continent. He's already completed Everest. And if you've been watching the new series of Unforgotten, you might recognise some of the filming locations. Scenes for the ITV drama were shot in various places around Deal. You can see pictures at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham played out their second goalless draw in a week on Saturday. The Gills are now 12 games without a win. Following the 0-0 away at Carlisle, they're sitting 19th in the table. Manager John Coleman spoke after the match. Just a warning, though, you'll be able to hear a lawnmower coming in and out, but you can still hear what the boss had to say.
Well, we had excellent first half. Took the game to them against a strong wind. Could have scored a couple of goals. Should have scored a couple of goals. Well, we did actually score one. But it's difficult to complain about that, you know, the linesman couldn't be in a great, great position to give it, so you're not wanting them to guess. I think it went just over the line. It feels as though we're cursed, and I can't start calling refs. That's not the right thing to do. We've got to focus on what we can do, but we're having absolutely zero luck. Well, we are. No, we're having lots of luck, bad luck. But in the main, you know, we've tightened up. That's two clean sheets on the spin, and we have tightened up. The lads are working hard. You can see even the subs, they're all rallying around each other. So, you know, we go against a tough game Tuesday, but hopefully we'll get that win that's eluded us for so long. We'll keep going, we'll keep making chances, and we'll focus on what we can control. We can't control what the referees do. And, you know, I've spoke since I've been at Gillingham about how difficult it is to be a referee, how hard it is to make split-second decisions. We're just at the wrong end of a lot of them at the moment. Probably four in the last four games. So, well, we keep going. I must say again, our Tavellan fans, you know, to come in them numbers, it's so admirable, you know, and I can't thank them enough. You know, 7 hours, you know, they're fantastic people, and I can't thank them enough. And the support was very, very much appreciated by both the staff and the players.
The Gills' next game is against Fleetwood Town tomorrow night at Priestfield. Kickoff for that one is at 7:45. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.